Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a conversation I had yesterday with my good buddy, Eric Townsend, who is the host of what I think is probably the best economics podcast out there. It is Macro Voices. In fact, in the intro to our interview, I told him that I actually like his podcast better than mine. I said that kind of jokingly, obviously, but you got a kick out of that. But one thing we were discussing, because Eric is an expert in the oil market, and we were talking about this ESG movement and how that has created kind of the setup that we're seeing for the energy space right now by there being a lack of investment in things such as oil, coal, lead, etc. for the last, call it, 5 years. So now all of a sudden, when demand increases significantly, or when supply decreases, there's not additional supply to come online to make up the gap because there was no investment that went into new wells, new mines, et cetera. And these things don't just get turned on and off like a light switch. It's like a 5-10 year lead time to these things. So I asked Eric, I said, okay, well, is the good news is if we're going to look at this glass half full, could we say that we might, if we go into a bear market, talking about in equities, if we go into a significant recession and the Fed is kind of out of bullets, so to speak, and the Fed put has expired, will this kind of cure that ESG movement? I'm not going to say it's going to change the narrative. The narrative will still be there. But in the past, I think since all asset prices were going up, I think people, investors, their choice was, well, do I make a 12% return in XYZ asset, or do I make a 10% return in a green asset or an ESG fund or something that will make me feel better and sleep well at night? Those are your two decisions, either 12% in whatever or a 10% yield in some sort of green energy solution or ESG fund that makes me feel like I'm actually moving the needle when it comes to climate change. I said that is fine and dandy when you have a bull market in everything and any type of investment is going to make money. But if we go into an environment where your choices are no longer 12% normal, 10% feel good, but now your choices are 2% normal or minus 20% feel good, all of a sudden, all of those greenies get religion, if you will. And they say, whoa, wait a minute. I was okay investing in this ESG fund if my choice was 12% or 10%, but I am not okay if my choice is 2% or negative 20%. Therefore, my hypothesis that I brought up with Eric is if we go through a significant bear market, could this kind of solve the problem? So now all of a sudden we get more investment in these energy sources that are vital, even if we are to move into a greener type of economy, we still have to have more carbon fuels. We have to have more fossil fuels. People just really frustrates me that people don't understand that, okay, great. You want clean air. Fantastic. You want a Green New Deal. You want a world where we've got carbon net zero or whatever. That's fine. But in order to get from A to B, we need more fossil fuels. We need more carbon-based energy. Just bottom line. It's very, very simple. So Eric said, yeah, that could be true. But one thing that Eric has given a lot of thought to, which he came back with in our discussion, was he also believes that now all of a sudden, that person who was that average investor, if you will, in the West, in the United States or in Western Europe, who was making that decision between 12% and 10%, hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as
Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Now, all of a sudden, the cost of those decisions is impacting them at a level which is right in front of their face. Or now, all of a sudden, those decisions or the ESG narrative, the costs are far more apparent in their life than they were, let's just say, 2 or 3 years ago. Meaning that most of the people on this live stream understand that the costs to lack of investment in a specific resource is that the price is going to go sky high, and you're going to get way higher gas prices, and you're going to get a lack of energy in certain parts of the world. And we all know the costs involved. But while, you know, 2-3 years ago, those costs weren't front and center, and people believed that there was no downside whatsoever to not investing in coal, not investing in oil to the degree to which we needed to. But now all of a sudden, when that person driving the Range Rover in California goes to put gas in their car, it costs them $500 or whatever. And now all of a sudden they're like, whoa, this is not what I bargained for. And maybe they see the cost of their electricity go up. Maybe you see something that's like happening in Europe right now, where it really impacts their daily life. And instead of those costs being kind of more abstract, they are now being felt on a daily basis. And so maybe the combination of these two things is what brings us to a narrative that's more adopted by the mainstream that is far more prudent and rational moving forward, where we understand, okay, great, let's try to transition into renewable energy. Let's try to transition into sources that aren't as destructive on the planet. Fine. But this needs to be a transition that is prompted by the free market, or it's going to be unsustainable, no pun intended. And it needs to be a result of us using more fossil fuels to get from A to B. Why do you say that, George? Well, let's just think about what goes into a windmill. That would be a massive amount of steel. Okay, how do you make steel? That would be coal. You have to have coal to make steel. So if you want your windmill farm, you're going to have to dig more coal. It is what it is. You can't have the windmill farm without the coal. And then you can't build the windmill farm without the diesel. That's why I say, if we want to go from A to B, if we want a more friendly, climate-friendly planet or climate-friendly energy sources, you've got to use more fossil fuel today so you can have a better world tomorrow. And that's what I think people are waking up to now. And if I'm going to look at this just tragedy that we have globally with this energy crisis, that's at least one way that, not to minimize the human suffering, but at least that's one way that we might be able to look at the glass half full. And one other thing that I wanted to mention here that I thought was kind of, it's a meme. It's funny. And again, it's not to make light of the human suffering, but I think it, like all memes and like all comedy, kind of presents it in a way that just the picture says 1,000 words, and the picture in and of itself articulates the problem maybe better than you could. So I'm going to go over to my Twitter feed, and here we go. This is a retweet by my buddy Andreas Steno Larson, who's fantastic. And this is the meme here. And this is it says German parties this winter. His house still has heat. And you can see these girls like freaking out because, you know, I don't know if it's implied in this meme, but, you know, that guy's so cool. We want to date this guy. Oh, he's so amazing. It's like they're looking at Elvis or they're looking at Justin Bieber or something like that. Like, oh my gosh, look at that guy. It's him. Just because the person's house has heat. And again, not to make light of the situation, but I think if we're starting to see memes like this, it gives us a signal that this ESG narrative and the problems with it are starting to be more understood by the mainstream. And I think over the long run, the next 10, 15 years, that's going to be a net positive. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. I'll see you in the next video.